My sisters and brothers, the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people prefer darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. John's Gospel has this literary thing. It's all about like a trial. There's lots of testimony being given and witnesses being called forth. And even here in what is one of the most beautiful readings in the gospel, there's this line. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light. It's quite a verdict. It is, however, not necessarily the last and final verdict. It is true that stepping into the light can be a dangerous thing, because we can't control what's going to be exposed in us when we actually stand in light. No longer can we engage in impression management. No longer can we put forth our ideas of what is right and true and good as ultimate when we stand in the light that is God's light. God's light that comes to us from the light of the world, who is Jesus. If we stand in that light, everything that is true of us will be seen clearly. And that can be kind of daunting, because I'm not so sure I want everything that's true of me to be seen by everyone. It also talks about God so loving the world that he gave us his only Son, not to condemn, but to save. And if we believe in him, we will be saved. But if we don't believe, we are already condemned. I think it's real important that that word believe is not simply an intellectual assent or a declaration that I believe in Jesus. That kind of faith that Jesus is talking about there is the willingness to trust that when we step into the light, while we think that light is going to condemn us, it is the trust that that light is going to save us. Because here's the thing, we're all living in partial light, not the full light. Sometimes we see only what we want to see. And sometimes we justify ourselves even when we can't be justified. And sometimes the partial light makes it impossible for us to see all the full consequences and ramifications of not only our personal choices, but the choices that we make together as a human community, as a nation, as a community. Our partial light has too much self-interest in it to let everything be seen. But to believe that God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son to save us is the willingness to step into that light. We heard in the first reading a reading from the second book of Chronicles. I would not recommend reading either the first or the second book of Chronicles unless you're really having a very difficult time falling asleep. Now, some of my friends here will get this joke, many of you will not. Reading the books of Chronicles is like reading the phone book. But if you don't know what a phone book is, you won't get that joke. It's a lot of lists, a lot of genealogies, a lot of stuff. The passage that we heard tonight comes from the very end of the second book of Chronicles. And it is an attempt to summarize the history of God's people with God. A people who had received great light in the form of the law, a law that would truly humanize human society, a law that called forth personal accountability to the community and responsibility for one another, a law that allowed us to see indeed that it is God who created everything and is indeed the Lord and master of all in the universe. But the second book of Chronicles in its summary says, the priests, the kings, and the princes piled abomination upon abomination and infidelity upon infidelity, because rather than letting God be their master, they looked around at all the other people who did not receive the light and decided they'd rather be like them, ruling not with mercy and justice, but with brutality and violence, not worshiping the one God, but worshiping gods that we made ourselves, who would work for us rather than us working for the one true God. And the result of that was a disaster. They were conquered, their city was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, and they're taken off to another country into exile. Seems like a great punishment. In reality, it was an experience of great enlightenment. Because while they were in exile, they had time to ponder that law that they had been given and rediscovered its richness, rediscovered its light. But still, they had to wait. And finally, they were rescued, which is how the reading ends. They are brought back by another king, allowed to resettle in their land, given another chance to live in God's light rather than the darkness of the world. And that's the thing. No matter how dark our world might be, no matter how incomplete, impartial the light we are seeing and being seen by is, it's only the whole story when the darkness is known to be surrounded by God's light, no matter how dark it might be, no matter how far away from that light we may stray, no matter how much we might want to hide from it, so that we continue being our own gods rather than servants of the God who created and loved us. That light never goes away. It may seem like it goes away. It may seem like the world right now is as dark a place as it has ever been. And yet what remains true is that no matter how dark it is, the light of God's love is still holding and surrounding us, not only waiting patiently for us to step into the light, but beckoning us, inviting us, enticing us into the light. And yet still we have to make that step of faith that in this light, we will not be condemned, but we will be saved. We will be loved. We will be justified, not by ourselves, but by God himself. That is a great step of faith, because it means stepping out of the comfortable darkness where we can think we are in charge, where we can justify our own actions, where we can keep hidden all those things that we don't want anyone to see. We are invited to step into the light. And yes, in that light, everything about us will be exposed and it will be true. It will be seen as it is. But that won't be the whole story, because we are not the whole story of our lives. The whole story of our lives includes that no matter how much we have loved the darkness, the light never goes away. And the light is ready to embrace us, to love us, to save us, to justify us, to bring us home to where we belong. At the very beginning of John's gospel, John talks about the coming of Jesus into the world. And he refers to Jesus as the light. And he refers to Jesus as the light that shines in the darkness. It says that the darkness, no matter how dark it might be, will never overpower the light. The light shines on in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So the whole gospel, the whole mission and ministry of Jesus, our Savior, is an invitation to us to step out of the darkness where we might feel safe and comfortable and in charge, and into the light where we will be seen and known and loved and truly set free.